Hi, my name is Dan Rachinski. It's August the 17th. Actually, it's August the 16th, Sunday, first day of the week. Giving a testimony about Brother John McGlone's shunning from Refining Fire Fellowship. Testimony of my side of the story to give a brief overview. I was actually a new member. I started visiting Refining Fire. I visited once in December 2014. I was able to start visiting about April 2015, the beginning of April, and regularly visited every Sunday. And on these visits, I would myself and my family would come and stay with the McGlone family for the whole weekend, and our wives would stay back on Saturdays. It was usually Saturdays was the event, and me and John and Daniel, John's son, would go preaching to just different events. And I got to know people in the fellowship a little better, you know. And a couple months later, it was actually in May, had a little short meeting with the elders of Refining Fire Fellowship to just basically say that, okay, I'm a member. So during this process, decided to sell my house in Tennessee. It's on the market to sell. And I was going to move my family to Kentucky here, which was 2 hours away from where I resided, and have a fellowship, have a spiritual family, because we were a bit isolated there, and I believed we're stepping out on faith. It was one time on a preaching event. It was a few hours away. I believe actually it was the Taste of Cincinnati. And of course, being spiritual men, me and Brother John were talking about spiritual things. And I honestly can't remember exactly how the topic came up. But the topic of holiness believers and fellowships and disfellowshipping people and church matters of this nature. And Brother John told me, as a matter of factly, you may want to know that the elders of Refining Fire Fellowship's point of view or interpretation of Matthew 18 about someone that, you know, would be in sin, when the Lord Jesus talks about one guy or sister confront the sinner. If the sinner refuses to repent, take back two witnesses or three witnesses. If they refuse to repent, bring them before the church. The text does say, tell it to the church. But the way I see it is to keep everybody accountable, including the elders, is now the church. They face the church. They tell it to the church, and the church is calling them to repent. So that would mean the church knows what's going on, knows the story. And apparently this is not the same interpretation as the Refining Fire Fellowship elders. So I you know, immediately wanted to talk to them about it. But Brother John said, well, could you just hold off and let me, I'm wanting to call a meeting with them and talk to them first. I said, no problem, sure. Apparently they did not want to meet with him. And, of course, I didn't know why. I asked him, why wouldn't they want to meet with you? So then he gave me a testimony, his testimony, that apparently this issue, this Matthew 18 church matter issue, has kind of been going on, so to speak, for a year, 2 years, maybe longer. It was going on for a while. And after he gave me his whole testimony of all this, shortly thereafter, he wanted to call a meeting. He wanted to have a meeting with the elders, with me and Brother Joshua. He wanted to have us there as neutral witnesses, since they were refusing to hear from him. I agreed to it. And Brother John was being as forthcoming as possible, as far as I know, with the elders as well of Refining Fire Fellowship, because he sent them an email. I seen the email that he sent them to let them know, hey, we need a meeting. I'll be silent. But Brother Dan and Brother Joshua want to ask you guys about Matthew 18. As neutral witnesses, you know, not that this is going to be a Matthew 18, but whether they agree with you guys or not. So there would be, to make sure there's no misrepresentation from John. He wanted them to give, you know, their side of the story. And, of course, he wanted to be there. And I agreed to it. That being said, they got the email. The elders got the email. And they called me. I got a call, I believe it was a missed call, you know, from Kerrigan. I called him back. He wasn't around, called his cell phone, wasn't around. At this time, I was working a very early shift. I was getting up at 2:30 a.m. So by the time he called me back was, let's just say, 7-ish. It was, I was laying down, I was half asleep. And I seen it was Kerrigan calling on the phone. I had my phone next to me. Answered the phone. Come to find out it was all three elders. I guess they had me on speakerphone or whatever. And part of the email that John sent them was that, you know, we all talk in this meeting that we wanted to have. Within the next couple of days from this phone call. And since I agreed to that, I was wanting to honor that. And I said, first off, look, you know, I don't want to talk alone. I want this to be the open forum in this meeting. That's all three of you guys. And, you know, I'm by myself, and the email was sent out, and pretty much right away, you know, they said that was squashed. There's not going to be a meeting, period. So then they, of course, I kept talking, and seeing what was going on. And I guess the bottom line of the conversation was they were drawing a picture, an illustration of Brother John McGlone, that he was warped and sinning, that he was divisive, and this is was his last straw. And, you know, to refute that, I mean, what I really didn't have a leg to stand on as far as I seen it. They gave me their side of the story. This is John. This is who he is. This is what's got to happen. We need to reject him. And by the end of the phone call, they told me that I needed to reject him and not talk to him ever again. And I just want to note that during that phone call, I did make it clear that this wasn't a Matthew 18 thing. This was a meeting with him there, but two neutral witnesses. And they pointed out to me that that's an extra biblical meeting, which it may be. But is it sinful? That'd be my question. I don't believe it would be sinful. It's a meeting. So that being said, got off the phone with him. Went to work the next day. Troubled, you know, troubled in my spirit. By the end of the day, I sent an email to Kerrigan Skelly and said, the Rachinsky family has resigned from Refining Fire Fellowship. Something of that nature. And he replied and said, I don't want to quote, but basically, oh, really? Well, you know, I hope you're not doing this just because of John, because you know he's not a part of Refining Fire Fellowship anymore. And, you know, just from that answered my question. I mean, not that I had already resigned. I had already, you know, just didn't like the whole situation, period, to be honest about it. And that was just kind of a reassurance to me that, well, I guess the whole Matthew 18 is thrown out the window because none of the church knows about it. As far as none of the fellowship, other than the elders. And I don't agree with that then. I don't agree with that now. And we'll see what happens in the future. But right now, I don't agree with that. And I'm comfortable with that. And so as of now, I actually, just to give you kind of a finish on the story, I ended up, my house actually is still up for sale, but it should be closing. Either way, I moved up to Kentucky, regardless of the Refining Fire Fellowship situation. And I'm in fellowship with the McGlones and the Gruguska family right now. And it's good. I still believe this. I was led here by faith. And again, it boiled down to the illustration of Brother John McGlone's character that they portrayed to me, and from what I got to know of him myself over the last maybe 2 months or so, every weekend, staying at his house, going to preaches with him, preaching with him, talking to him on the way to preaches, on the way back from preaches, and my discernment. And I totally disagree with their assessment, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm fellowshipping with Brother John, and that's my testimony.
Any questions about it?
You said that it was, quote, his last straw. I don't know what that means.
No, I was talking about the elders.
When the, you're talking with Kerrigan.
Well, they may not have used the words. I mean,
well, what do you mean by those words?
That he has a history and a record of being divisive. And this was at least the fourth time, I said. Because the scripture says one or two times, reject a divisive man. So they, they put up with him. I believe they said four times, and that was it. That was enough.
Thank you.
Did they give you any examples of my divisiveness? Something. It's been a couple months, so.
I bet I didn't have a recorder handy yet. They probably got me on record.
Well, that will be one of my desires and hopes is they will release all those recordings. But
as long as they release all of it.
Right.
Because I mentioned that I was half asleep because in the beginning they're nailing me with are you bringing a Matthew 18 and this and that? And I was unclear on my answer, but later on in the conversation, I went back to it and made sure that I was clear that no, it wasn't, it's not initially intended to be a Matthew 18. It's me and Joshua are neutral. And then that's when one of them said, well, that's extra biblical. So what does that mean? It's extra biblical. It's a meeting. What's the big deal?
Did they talk about the other issues that I brought up in the letter, Romans 14 and the secret elders issue? Or secret counselors issue?
Yeah, I believe so. You see, what I'm trying to do right now in my mind, I'm trying to make sure that I'm sticking to the specific phone call and not any of the other recordings or anything else that I've heard through this whole situation. Because I want to be as honest as possible.
Sure.
I don't remember because I might be thinking of the accusation meeting, that recording. I only heard the first part of that recording, but I'm pretty sure he covers that in that recording. I don't want to mix that up with my phone call.
Sure. But did you... Sorry, go ahead.
There had to have been some kind of... examples, though, because I remember for a fact they said you're warped and sinning, divisive, sowing discord. There had to be examples. They wouldn't just say that from one possible time.
Historical examples, you mean?
Yes.
Go ahead, Matt.
Did they say anything about being willing to meet with you to talk about these things? And because it seemed like their concern was, that not to meet with John. But did that idea ever come up, or did John just want to be around?
Yeah, it did. And I told him, I said, yeah, I had no problem with asking you all about this or whatever. John gave me his testimony, wanted to have this meeting, and I agreed to it. And then they told me that that was bad judgment on my part, because he wanted things his way, I guess.
So did that disqualify you from getting to talk with the elders about it? Or was there more said, like, you know, that was bad judgment, you know, so that's why, you know, John shouldn't attend. But if you would still like to talk about these things, then we're available on a certain date. Did anything like that said?
Well, actually, I don't know. As far as me being disqualified, I know that before I got off the phone, I was told that I used bad judgment in accepting the meeting. Kerrigan did, at one point, give me a brief overview of their interpretation of it. Honestly, I can't remember specifically how he went about giving me that quick teaching. But I seen it come to life anyways. The next day, in the email, that he was no longer in part of Refining Fire Fellowship, and you know, where was it, Matthew 18?
For me, you mean?
For you, yeah. I don't believe in rejecting somebody because another man told me to, but I can't hear the other side of the story. I don't believe in having faith in men, but only in God, and I believe that God has it set up to where I don't have to have just blind faith in men, especially when I know the man in question better than I know the three men that are telling me not to speak to him or whatever the case may be. So that's why I feel strongly about that issue. And I would urge anybody in the fellowship, Refining Fire Fellowship, if they happen to hear this, one of the men that's not an elder, that's still a church, still the church, and a man of God, to stand up, ask the other side of the story. Start following the Lord, not men.
You said that they told you that there's not going to be a meeting. That's in your testimony just a little bit ago. And so that sounds like that they wouldn't be willing to meet with you and me without John present, or by a meeting, did they mean one where John was attending?
Yeah, the meeting that we had set up was going to be me, you, and John, and the elders to talk about this Matthew 18. And I guess Romans 14 situation. They said, nope, that's not happening. That was the first thing that they said. Because I told them I didn't want to talk to them because of that, for that reason. Just wait for the meeting. They said, well, there's not going to be a meeting, period. So.
And the reason they gave was because John was being warped and sinning. That was the reason. Is being divisive.
Specific reason why they didn't have a meeting? I don't believe they said that. But they did say that he was warped and sinning.
Okay. And they said he was being divisive.
Yes. Rejected divisive man.
You had a question, John?
Dan, did you ever during this, the last few months that we've all been experiencing this, did you ever have the impression or thought that I was trying to divide you or anyone else away from the Flying Fire Fellowship?
No.
Why?
Because we were part of a Flying Fire Fellowship. We were having fellowship in your house. I was wondering, how come some of the brothers were coming out with us preaching? I didn't think anything of that when you mentioned the Matthew 18 situation. It bothered me a little bit, so I wanted to talk to them. But you were kind of already in the middle of it, so to speak, with them. So I let you talk to them.
Right, that was during the Taste of Cincinnati trip. And both you and I are not sure how we got on that subject of church discipline, but I couldn't recall exactly how we got onto it, that I then explained to you the Matthew 18 view that elders have. And that's what you would be stepping into with Refined Fire Fellowship. So make that abundantly clear. That was said. I'm not sure exactly the chronology. It would have been before the second letter. I'm not sure if it was before the first letter or not. I think it may have been right after or right before the first letter. That was sent out during the Peter's interrogation, or the Peter's, not use too strong a word here, the Peter's examination and resolution with the elders. It was right around the same time frame that all was happening. So I couldn't remember the exact chronology of that. But again, it wasn't to lead you into this, but just to inform you this is what it is. And I don't know how to explain it better than that, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you could be listening to this and saying, well, you were trying to divide me since you gave me that fair warning. I don't see it that way. I said, hey, you're about to move your whole family up here. You're about to submit to this eldership. You might want to know this. And then there it was. And I was eventually going to talk to them about it after you got done talking to them about it, however that worked out. They turned you down. You gave me your testimony. And he didn't say I had to be a part of this meeting or anything. After you gave me your testimony, I told you then. I felt like, well, I'm in it now. I have to.
Okay, so you just clarified it for me. So I didn't give you a testimony during that Cincinnati trip, but just gave you the view.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I wasn't testifying about my experiences and all that stuff until later, when I'd already talked to Joshua, I believe, before I talked to you.
Yeah, that's how I tried to say it earlier in this testimony. It was in the car. It just came up in conversation, just in a roundabout way. You said, well, you might want to know this about this particular topic. And that was pretty much it. Of course, it bothered me right away, but
right.
It wasn't your testimony.
Gotcha. How long have you been a Christian, brother?
About 10 years.
And?
A little over.
What is your church background? What church kind of churches have you attended? Like, I used to go to a Calvary Chapel, but what kind of churches have you attended?
Church of Christ.
Okay. And when you decided to move up here to Fellowship, what was one of the main things that you were... that was attracting you to the doctrines, the fellowship, and that kind of thing.
Holiness, beliefs, and accountability, and the outlining of the New Testament church. You know, and not the cookie cutter American so called church.
So, right now, you're not part of the denomination called Church of Christ?
No. No, I'm here with you guys.
And, did you want to maybe share something about what you believe the Lord's leading you to do now with your family as far as... don't have to, but I guess that point to me would be relevant only in the sense that I counseled you in those areas and advised you to something that would actually lead you away from us.
You know? So it doesn't look like, I mean, might run it off for some weird reason.
Right, and you don't have to share the details or anything.
That's
but,
fine.
Yeah, some people don't have the impression that John's trying to gather a group of people around himself, because that's been kind of the accusation. I'm trying to make a church here. And if the Lord brings together a group of people, I praise the Lord. I'm not trying to chop people up and bring them towards me. So anyway, I assert that, but did you want to, with your testimony, show that by what's been done?
Yeah, absolutely. Just so there's no misunderstanding or, hey, whatever happened to that Dan guy. Because, like I mentioned earlier, I do believe that the Lord has been leading myself and my family to Kentucky here and breeding. We recently moved here with plans to stay here. Of course, always being open to the Holy Spirit of God, and something came up with my stepkids that live in Texas here shortly after I moved up here. My wife and family, we packed up in Brother John's van. He loaned it out to us for a week. We drove down to Texas, tried to get the kids, to make a long story short. Things didn't work out well at all concerning that. So it's looking like the Lord is now leading us to Texas. From the outside looking in, you know, we may look like confused people, but I strongly believe, and anybody can talk to man about it, that... every step that I've taken thus far has been by faith. I believe, still believe, that the Lord has led me here, has led me through all these things. For whatever reason, I'm not going to say I'm clueless. I believe that people have to go through certain things to be refined and matured in different ways, and there's been other ways in my life. It isn't all just about John McGlone being shunned, which is a huge deal, don't get me wrong, but in my particular life, this whole season has been led by God, I believe, wholeheartedly. And you know, we looks like we're looking at moving to Texas in the recent future, because there's some kids, souls on the line, and we want to be sure to do our part and to do what we can do for these children to be saved by Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. You know, if we have to sacrifice fellowship, and we love being here. And other things, geographically, I don't much care for the spot either that we're moving to, but when the Lord puts something on your heart and tells you to go somewhere or do something, if you're a disciple, and you better listen. So that's where we're at now, and just to give you further, I guess further testimony about Brother John and his whole situation. He's my brother, he's my friend, so we're going to talk about things, and the things in my life, things in his life. And about this whole situation, he wasn't trying to be all weird and keep me here and shun this person or that person. You know, he's always the first one to say, you know, let the Lord lead you above and beyond anyone else, no matter how it might look or seem to anyone else. Make sure it's the Lord, and if it is the Lord, follow Him. And myself, my wife, we believe that that's what we're doing. And you know, we appreciate the McGlones for all that they've done for us. And anything else?